Good morning. Welcome back to the final task force meeting here for on pollinator health. So we are almost close to being done with this report, that the recommendations report on task force on pollinator health here. And so what we'll do today is have a public comment period for about 15 minutes maybe, and then we will go over the report again, and we'll see what fine-tuning we need to do on this. And if the task force members have any other comments, final comments today, we can try to incorporate those as well. So at this time, if Jeff, Representative Reardon, if you have anything to say before I start taking public comments.
I think I'm going to just hold my comments for the end, and let's get it done.
Thank you. So I have Chris Vinson, if she's here, yeah. So yeah, go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Chris Winson. I work with Univar in the Environmental Sciences Division. We are a pesticide wholesaler. I'm also a consultant, a pesticide consultant in the state of Oregon for the last 15 years. I want to commend the work group, first of all. You have opposing missions, and yet you have created a very collaborative atmosphere. And I wish the media would report more on this than a lot of the vitriol that gets reported out there now. So I do want to caution this group on creating overreaching legislation regarding neonics. Banning or severely restricting the use of this class of chemicals would actually be harmful to Oregon citizens. Now, let me just use bed bugs as a point of reference for that. Bed bugs are resistant to pyrethroids, and neonics are the product of choice right now that are being used to eradicate this pest. There are other methods available, but they're very, very expensive, and our most vulnerable citizens cannot afford them. So to ban this product would create a situation where people in public health needs would not have a product that was lower risk in its toxicity to mammals than other products that are currently available. So I would caution again against creating legislation that is too far overreaching, that you don't consider all the downstream effects of that. At the same time, we have a severe lack of scientific evidence that we need to make the best decisions going forward. We have a lot of junk science that's available, and that junk science will support whatever view you want to have. But do we have good, solid, peer-reviewed, replicable science regarding neonics and our pollinators? Well, we have a lot of work to do on that, and I think that has been discussed. So to create legislation on these products without having the full scope of information can be detrimental downstream. In the interim, though, should we take a proactive, cautious approach, keep these products available, but perhaps restrict their use? As a pesticide consultant, I do feel that that is a good moderate approach to take. Will it create some burdens for some in agriculture to have to license their people? It will. But at the same time, if that's what keeps this product available for its use, for its very important uses, then that's what we need to do. So as a consultant for the state of Oregon, that is my opinion. So.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else in the audience that would like to do a public comment here? Or else we will go ahead and start our task force business. Okay. Okay, so Beth, you want to go ahead with each of those priorities that we have? Or so the plan is to discuss first the four priorities that we have, or five that we wanted to come up as in the first page, if everyone has this new document that Beth has sent. I think that, I don't know, maybe if you don't like the idea, please let me know as well, because this was something I think Beth had sent, and then Representative Reardon reiterated this again with some of his comments, saying that that's really important as well. Yeah, George. Yeah.
Just a question. As we finished our last meeting, we had not even gone through at least one major section.
One.
Are you thinking of just not doing that?
No, we will actually. We will go across each of those again, but that was only the research section, I guess, right? Was it the research needs that was missing last time? That's what my memory is that.
Best management practices 4.1?
Yeah, I think management practices were discussed. Are you talking about 4.1?
I thought 4 and then and part of 3.
No, we will go over again if we have any suggestions here, but I thought we were only left with only one that was research needs last time, and most of the other things were discussed.
Well, I had some suggestions on 4 that I wasn't able to present last time,
okay.
So I assume that's what we have.
I think we can do that as well. Well, once we are going through each of those different priority areas, I think we will stop and spend a little time on it.
So I hold my comment until we get to 4 then.
Yeah, so maybe let's start with the top priorities here. If everyone wants something like that to be in the document, the top,
No, they're available online. Maybe we should get a couple made. What Shelley has some extra copies of is the October 3rd draft. The version that she's handing out does not have the changes from the previous draft, so I don't know what everyone is working from, but there was a version sent out that had the track changes on, so it shows all the changes, and then there was the compiled document. What Shelley just passed out is the compiled document.
With edits, right?
With the edits,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. I have this one with the...
Yeah, that's...
So this should be fine.
You should be fine. Everybody good?
Okay, you're good.
You're good. Yeah, no, you're good. If you have the 10.3 draft, you're good.
Yeah, I saw everything.
Yeah, that's a 10.3 one.
Okay, so everybody's good?
They had stuff added in.
So maybe Beth can read each of those areas, and maybe first I want to see if you're okay with this idea of having those top 4 or 5 priorities listed in the front, so that it's easy for the legislators or someone who is reading this.
I like them a lot. I definitely went a little more detail under each one, and I don't know how much we can flesh them out. That'd be real valuable, I think, because they're real broad and as stated. And I have some ideas when we get there.
Yeah, or do you think we can, like as Representative Reardon had in some of his things, like just pointing those points from inside where they can refer to the bullets inside the document? George.
If you could just have a reference to the actual recommendations later on, so that if you were interested in that subject, you could go to that, and that's what we're recommending.
I think that's more
rather
useful.
Than expand the language, which might then still be...
Yeah, again, the purpose is defeated if we are too
long. I can see either way. I want them all, everything. I want a little bit more here so that, because how many are going to go to another page? Documents that say refer to table 7 on page, I always, but either
side. Are you suggesting people aren't going to digest every word of this hard document that we put a lot of time in on?
I think we might be the only
ones.
Are
well to do. I had one suggestion on number 2. It is adding some words, but we didn't talk about the habitat issues on state lands and stuff. And so if best management practices to improve pollinator health, including habitat, or, just to include that, so it's not just pesticides, but also best management practices in other areas as well. Or
agreed, yeah. That's a good point if everyone is okay with that.
And I wanted to check, I think part of wanting more language, priority 1 as it's written, I mean, would it include things like page 17, 6.1, which one? C? I mean, does it include all of 6.1? Would we be, to create outreach and education, would we support that funding for ODA or OSU extension?
Starting
I mean,
here.
Does, is that part of this or not? Because that is also consensus. Like and they would be the ones doing outreach and education.
Got it.
I mean, to me, that's a real concrete piece then. We want outreach and education, and we're going to support, and we support these funding pieces.
We're not there, we're here.
I don't know, though.
This is what we're discussing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know. I know. So I'm looking at priority one here. Then you go to 6.1. And then you go down, and is all of six, is this what we want in our outreach? I mean, I don't know. So do we support then funding OSU and ODA, the positions,
yes,
to do the outreach and education?
I thought we did.
See,
but,
so do I. And
but
so
you
do
have
we,
that okay. in five. That you have a reference to funding.
Yeah, but is it clear enough? Race to providing funding to pollinator health programs? That's real vague. I would link it. I mean, if we want to fund those positions, then we should say it. Just to help people. I mean, we don't have to. Maybe it's too much, but it would help put the puzzle pieces together.
Or maybe whatever we are asking for funding, maybe we should just have everything in one place, just for funding issue, rather than not having in multiple places. I don't know.
It's fine either way. I guess their outreach.
Do you want to add
some better
funding issue in this line, or I mean, what would be your language?
Oh, I guess what I think of as funding is the funding source, and what we're funding is outreach and education. And I don't care which box we put it in, as long as people understand what funding source we're using and what we want funded with that money, as best we can provide that. Whether it goes under five or one, you know, to me, this is outreach and education, so we should develop this plan, and ODA and OSU should have staff. And it's,
So, Ame, are you talking about having that money fund an extra staff person? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, so if we look at, we don't need to spend time on this, I thought, but under six, we have a consensus agreement that we both agree to support OSU and ODA education outreach staff. And for you, you guys already have a POP. So does that go, is that part of the priorities and that we list up front in the, you know, in the executive summary, or at least can we link back so that someone knows the executive summary?
Well, I think that's why that's there. I mean, to me, the executive summary stuff, that lays out, these are our priorities, and then people get to go in and dig into the details. I mean, they'll get the details, but the big picture of this is we agree that this is what needs to be done, and then they can look deeper into the details, and we'll bring that up for them anyway. I mean, as we pursue this further, I don't think you have to have all those details up front, because, I mean, most legislators are going to know, oh, they support this, and then, okay, you can tell me what the details are. I don't need to have everything listed out at the front. I need the big picture stuff.
I don't know if number one, what it includes. That's part of my problem.
Amay, what we can do is we can include, as George suggested, we can put those 6.1s in those things if we want, and in any of those where you want something, so that they can go back and
so see. Let me make a recommendation. First of all, under the introduction on that paragraph, I would say something about both testimony and task force discussion, make it clear that pollinator health is a complex and multifactorial issue that includes, that may include pesticides, habitat, food.
Oh, put it in bees. There. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem we're trying to address.
Okay.
And then down below, if you need to add two more words or something, I'm fine with that. But I think the idea, as George recommended, make it easy for him to find that reference.
Right.
But once you, as a former technical writer, I understand that if you start duplicating information, it's a nightmare.
Right.
So I would just keep it simple, but put that reference where to find it. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. And
I think that really is the way. But I see another small problem. Maybe the last sentence in that introduction, four priority recommendations, and we have five. And,
yeah.
And, and they're not recommended actions. I just say overriding overriding issues, overriding priorities emerged.
Right, something broader than
actions. Because these aren't really actions.
Themes.
They're issues. But at any rate, four should be changed to five.
Or, if you, or if we want just four, then we can combine those three and four probably. Those two are talking about funds here, right?
And don't even bother numbering it. Just priority recommended actions emerge. These primor.
Right.
Priority recommended actions emerge.
So my question is, does Beth or whoever does the next version, does she know what she's going to put under each of these as our priorities? 6 point. That's what I don't know that we know yet, which is my whole concern in the first place.
Yeah, I'm assuming that I would take the ones in the top category and reference those.
Okay.
But that's what I would have to do at this point without having you all to go through it again.
But you plan to send the final document again to the task force members just to have a final look?
Maybe? I can do that. But, and I guess
due date on when you're planning on
I can do that this week. The only question is what happens. I think you should talk about what happens if there's a disagreement with what I send out, given that there are no more meetings of the group. I would think about that.
That would be just a final look. I mean, I don't think at that point there will be nothing going back and changing too much, but if there are some minor edits, if someone says this should be here or this should be here,
yeah, maybe, that's fine. Yeah.
We can just have an email and sort that out rather than having a meeting. Mm-hmm.
Just limit their response time.
Yeah.
And they're all consensus items. So if, you know, if we, I think the only thing would be is wait, there's too much or something. I mean, I can't imagine it being.
Yeah, at this point, I think after having 7 or 8 meetings now, I don't expect, I mean, I know still there could be, but I would expect or hope not to have too many changes again. So you mean, if I'm understanding you right, so you want to have a good idea on those priorities that would be listed here on the executive summary here?
I think George's idea and Representative Reardon, I think whatever is fine.
Okay.
I actually had the question, gosh, what priorities under that I'm reading later fit under here? And I wasn't sure. So it sounds like we're going to work on that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. Anything else? So the second one is okay. Best management practices. So we'll include what George is saying, including habitat in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to say that on the introduction.
Yeah.
So you don't have to repeat it throughout.
Okay.
Because otherwise it would go on each one, really. I like it being, yeah.
So
this will be here somewhere.
A question. So under task force recommendations, consensus recommendations, you have a Oregon Pollinator Health Outreach and Education Plan should be developed. That's, I guess that would be different than the best management practices, but at one point you were talking about developing a pollinator health plan that could be used for that farmers could use. Is that different than the best management practices, or is that just kind of a general term for what that is?
Probably best management practices are part of it, but I think that's more of an overarching goal, I would say. Yeah, I don't think in some areas we can't tease apart some things, so they have to be included, I guess. So maybe that's a confusion probability is creating there.
I wondered if they should be joined. I know I've been struggling.
Yeah, just because at a national level, we're it's heading in that direction. I just had another national meeting, and so states are developing it. We now supposedly 15 states are at some point of development
of
developing pollinator management or pollinator protection plans.
Okay. And are BMPs under part of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the question is, do we want to combine those two?
I mean, the reason why they are different here is based on this House Bill 4139. they have mandated some, there's a language in there. Based on that, I think Beth came out with this different, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the initial plan. I know it might be a little confusing here in this document, but the whole idea was to satisfy those different goals that the legislature had in that bill.
I think best management practices really sounds good to people that don't live in this world every day. It sounds like it really sounds substantial and supportable.
Would it make sense Oregon should develop a strong, effective outreach education strategy on pollinator health, which includes best management?
You could do that.
We'd be down to four again. Yeah.
No, that's a good suggestion. I think we can have that. And include.
Yeah, so combine one and two, basically.
That would make sense.
Okay.
Would it create more problems for you?
No, it's fine. Okay. No, that's great. It sounds like the national discussion is maybe jumped ahead of the discussion that led to the 2014 bill, so that's fine.
Well, I know at the national level they're also watching us, so that's okay. They're interested in what we're doing, too. We are helping. We're not just lagging behind.
Okay, moving further. Number three, I think you had a little different language, right? Representative Reardon, you had suggested something.
A spectacular state-of-the-art?
No.
I don't think I had a question.
Is that fine? The language and number three.
What was the
number three?
Can you clarify why would you have a diagnostic facility? Is there?
That was basically that came out with George's discussion. Is because beekeepers really need something on.
I'm just thinking. Can you add a couple of words to clarify the purpose of the center?
Oh mm-hmm. Yeah. We can. I can send her something later, maybe. Not right now, maybe.
Yeah, is that the CSI Center? Or?
Yeah, I could try to refine this a little bit. You want a little bit more details in here, right?
Tiny bit more.
Okay.
Just so they know why they would want one of those.
Okay. Okay. If you agree with the principal language here, yeah, then I can add some little more verbiage to that.
I had a question for Scott and George on five. I wasn't sure if that language was quite what kind of they had brought up and that we had agreed to. The priority.
What do you mean?
Oh, actually, for number five, I like what Representative Reardon was saying. It's more broad. It says there needs to be a sustainable. So I'll read that for you. It says there needs to be a sustainable revenue stream to support all the proposed outreach and education programs. And then he's listing all those 6.1. It's very specific here. It says provide funding by raising this, whatever it says, pesticide registration fee and beehive. I don't know, George, you want it to be very specific front there, or you just...
Well, I hadn't heard your suggestion, but the funding issue is broader than just those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And so to refer to just those two things, I think, is missing the over...
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funding should be provided for... and then, I don't know, you had some language?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to read that again, yeah. So he says...
I printed that.
Yeah. I'll read that again here. He says, there needs to be a sustainable revenue stream to support all the proposed outreach and education programs. Or we can even add research there, I guess. I don't know. It's more broad, and then you can cite all the pesticide registration and the beehive registration in one place so that it makes more sense. Because, there is a good chance if someone is reading it, then they will think we have come up with funding just by these two different things then.
So if you change to, say, sustainable revenue stream to support the proposed outreach and education programs and the research and all the other stuff we want to fund.
Yeah. And the diagnostic facility.
Yeah.
That's not going to be cheap.
Well, I was trying to get out the sustainable part of it. I mean, there's a capital outlay of building it.
Yes.
And then how do we keep it running?
Exactly.
So
you bring up a good point, and I think that's something I could use clarification on, Beth, and that is we sent in some changes to you, like I know I did, and it to change this a little bit, because I do have concerns with the way the language is mm-hmm. here, as far as registration fees going for pollinator health programs versus the education and outreach stuff. So how are you dealing with the comments that you got back from us, and what are we working off of now? Because I feel like we're going through back over the
original,
basically the draft that you sent out on the 3rd. So should we be resuggesting the changes that we sent to you already, or?
Yes, you should. So I got comments from Scott, Amay, and Ramesh, and to the extent when we get to the part that you had comments on, you should be saying them. I think it's important to focus on these priorities to make sure this language that's in the executive summary is what everybody agrees to, so that's right. And then we can go through the rest of it. And Amay had a number of comments. Scott, you didn't have very many. Ramesh didn't have very many, so I don't think that part will take very long. But getting these priorities right is important.
So the fifth, the language on number 5 here is what again? Establish sustainable funding for
supporting outreach, education, and research.
Should we agree to that piece?
Yeah.
Outreach.
We want to use that language.
Education, and research.
Yeah. Are we missing something? Or maybe we can add extension as well. Outreach, extension, education, and research.
So the sustainability of the diagnostic, is that included in one of
if
those?
If we think that's a priority and that has to be shown in bullets there, then it has to be there. But then for other programs, you can. If you put there, then I think it's a. You're asking too much there. I don't know if that's.
And I think that it. I think that even putting the extension in might be a little bit much, because what we're looking at is we're kind of looking at the outcome that we want here. We want to sustainably fund our outreach efforts. And what that looks like, you know, might be some money for extension, might be money for ODA, might be a B diagnostic facility. It might be a combination of these things, but the overall thing we want to do is find funding for. Our end goal is the outreach and education.
Yes.
Our end goal isn't funding for extension. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I like that, and this is a, well, it's fine. I think that's great.
George, you're okay with that? Or?
I think. So it's provide
sustainable
funding for activities. Say the rest of it again.
So basically the language you had, Representative, I think.
Funding to support all proposed outreach, education, extension, and research programs.
We except for extension.
Yeah.
Except for extension.
Because outreach education will include extension. Right?
It's not that I want to exclude dollars going to extension. I just think that's a little bit specific amongst generals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you don't want extension in here? Okay.
I'm okay with that.
So research is okay in this one?
The poor guy that's been around the building for a while.
Which is outreach, research, and education.
Yep, I got it. So that's going to replace the more specific language.
So what do we have now? Can we read the...
So it would be...
we still have 4 or how many we have?
It will be 4. 1 and 2 will be combined. So 1 and 2 will be combined so that it addresses outreach and education as well as best management practices. Number 2 will be the state-of-the-art B health diagnostic facility with additional language from Ramesh. Number 3 is the integrated pollinator health research plan. And then number 4 would be sustainable revenue to support outreach, education, and research programs.
And
can we link that to, do you want to go first? I talk a lot. Go, George.
I talk a lot, too. So I just wanted to get the, in the introductory, you were going to complex multifactorial issue, and then you have 3 things?
No, I think
list?
There'll be more than 3. I don't have the list in front of me, but it would be, you know, habitat, all the different issues that you've talked about.
Pathogens,
all of, yeah.
Okay, all of that. I just want to make sure that it was going to be a complete list and not just pick on
I'm going to try
the usual suspects.
Long.
But if you don't mind, George, once she makes the final draft and sends
it, have
a look wherever you think there is a concern. I really appreciate if everyone can have a look at the final.
I was just trying to complete the discussion on what changes we were going to
make. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't address that part of it. Yep.
Adding to that longer list, I like the idea of native and managed pollinators both being included there, if there's okay.
Which one?
That would be in that intro. Okay. When we have that list, so the multiple factors involved in the decline of native and managed pollinators, including everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe again, you can read that as well. And if there is something missing, I don't think anyone will on this table will have an objection on that. So.
And when we do that, we send it to the whole group when we have edits at that point. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's fine.
No secrets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So okay. Point five, which is now point four, mm-hmm. The one thing I liked about what it had was it was very clear two sources of funding that actually seemed pretty reasonable that we had actually really solidly agreed to. And I would like to not lose that. Now we've made it much broader. And I agree our goal is broader, but obviously this whole document is our goals. And I think it is a priority to fund, you know, somewhat at ODA, somewhat at Extension, to do outreach and education. And, you know, we have an idea at ODA that we maybe be able to do it through the pesticide registration fees. I don't want to lose that thought. That is a concrete, solid, valuable thought. So.
But I think that when that comes in, though, is that comes in the back end of the report. I mean, we talk about here that it's a priority for us for sustainable funding, and then you can look down in the funding section and see what our suggestions are for that funding.
Fine.
I will also include references to the specific places in the report.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I wondered. Great. So that's
and
perfect.
I'll do that.
Yeah,
too.
And I understand. That's an important achievement, and you want to focus. But again, because these are only five different things or four different things we are putting here, so
it's,
I think it would be.
No, I just thought we were supposed to prioritize some clear items at the top, not make broad overarching. But now it's broad overarching at the top.
But
that's
I think
fine.
Eventually, I don't know, maybe Representative Reardon may have a better idea on this. So you think the serious readers will really look into the other things as well, right? They better, okay.
Reardon will have them over to his house to sit and read together.
I'll go read
book
to
club.
Them. I'll read to them.
Okay, so we can go to shall we start with the each recommendation from task outreach and education? Should we just go over what we have right now and very quickly and if Scott had some suggestions and I had, so we can go over that, but if we have too many, I don't think we have that much time to go over, but we'll see how it goes then. Or you have a different suggestion?
No, I think that's fine. So you just want to go to task one?
Yeah, task one. And unless you have some other problems with the language in between, if someone had time to read the entire document and if you think there is...
I've gotten some corrections from people, and I'll, things
those are minor,
just
right?
flat
They're
out
right,
wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just make those changes. Yeah.
So then I think we can just jump into the task one here, which is outreach and education. And we don't need to read everything in here. Just see if you all agree with consensus recommendations that are here or if you think there is... language that you want to tweak a little bit, not significant at this time.
On the first paragraph, I had one piece to broaden it a little, under improve understanding of pollinator health issues. Mm-hmm. We have a goal being to reach audiences with information already available. I would like to add and identify and provide new information or somehow address that it's not just putting out what's already available. ODA has ideas of new information that's needed to... It's small. It just seems important. So it's the first paragraph.
You don't want to limit it to existing information, but you certainly want them to leverage existing information.
Right, so. which is how I put it exactly.
Is that okay with everybody?
No.
Okay.
Okay, anything on 1.1?
I spoke with Jeff earlier to check in on this. So to me... We now have it being OSU and ODA. This pollinator health outreach and education plan is going to be broader than ODA and OSU. And somehow, if we want them to be lead, it needs to be in consultation with other agencies. Somehow, it needs to be clear that it's going to be multiple agencies working together, not just Extension and ODA,
it might be Fish and Wildlife. I don't know who all would be involved. It might be, you know, ODOT.
We can just say all relevant agencies.
Yeah.
Something like that you want to add? Okay.
I'm trying to think what the language would be. In, I don't know.
I think relevant agencies.
Okay.
It's okay.
Because I know that at least federally they're looking at mandating that actually beehives can go onto federal land and utilize those resources. And so we might be involving state parks and other agencies or something like this.
And if you say in consultation, does that mean you can, you know, send out a letter and then they can write back to you versus I want it to be kind of an engaged process?
Yeah, a collaborate.
Collaboration.
Collaborate, yeah.
You want
so
to change the word? Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Perfect. Thank you.
Change consultation to collaboration.
Okay.
As long as it's clear who's in charge of getting it planned done.
Roche.
Yeah.
We just put Roche's name in
it. Okay. Anything else on 1.1?
I have just a question. The incident reporting program right now should be clarified, and clearly that's what's talked about here, but the only way right now to get objective samples from it would be through the state, realistically. And if you call and file an incident report, then you involve the state in this whole process, and the end result is, the purpose is to find out if there has been a violation. And on the side, if you uncover other violations which are not a part of the issue directly, they cannot be overlooked. I'm just wondering if it's possible, I mean, this is a question maybe for you, Rose, is it possible to establish an intermediate level of investigation that does not automatically start the search for a violation, just to collect data, period?
Boy, I would have to talk to enforcement. Because currently the way an investigation is collected is that they would go out, they would collect bees, they would swab the hive, they would do a split sample, they would send half to Ramesh to look at for incidence of a disease or some type of parasite, and they would look at the whole picture. I mean, we have a cooperative agreement with EPA to do things in a certain way and follow their bee investigation guidance. And so to deviate from that and then not to see a violation of either state or federal law and then not to act upon it would probably be unlikely.
Right. That's in fact the situation, and it is a huge deterrent for people to actually initiate that process, because it might cause problems for the landowner, and the beekeeper might lose the location. It might cause problems for the beekeeper if they're using an unregistered material. It might cause all kinds of other unintended things. And so because it's not reported, then we don't have the information. And so I'm just trying to find out, and I don't think we have time to pursue this right now. But there's a great deal of discussion about setting up another level of investigation which would not be punitive. There's no intent to be, just to gather information.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And somehow so that it gets into the databases and the registrants find out about it, but there's no attempt to find out if there was a perpetrator of a violation.
Should it move and not be consensus if there's concerns about it? Do we want to look at it again? I don't know if we can.
Well, I wanted clarification. that as it stands right now, it sounds like this would be something that would probably not be possible easily just by us recommending it or something like that. It could cause, in fact, I haven't thought it through. Nobody's thought it through completely. But I don't disagree with the with what is here as far as it goes. But we have not removed the disincentive mm-hmm. for beekeepers to file claims.
George. Is there a point here?
George. Yeah, keep in mind, if a pesticide investigator is looking for a pesticide violation, that person cannot say, oh, if she applied it, I can ignore. If he applied it, I have to apply the law. It doesn't work that way.
I understand that. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that's a huge disincentive, and we're not getting reports.
To let you know with this next step, they can go in and say, we're looking for a specific type of violation. That is different, because one focuses on the individuals and the other one focuses on the process. Still, I would caution you against tying the hands of the inspectors or investigators in any way, regardless of, unfortunately, where it may lead.
It sounds like what you want would be more of an investigation by a research institution than a regulatory agency.
A way to get objective sampling, third-party objective sampling, that it does not initiate your system, which has its place and it should not be removed or in any way changed. But because there's such disincentives right now, a lot of information is not finding its way to the EPA and to the registrants about impacts of these chemicals. And so I think that's something that's outside of this committee.
Yeah.
And without an extension agent who could carry on a discussion, without an extension agent, that conversation can't take place.
But there's no way. Yeah, George, I think that's an excellent point to discuss, but I don't think we will solve that problem at this time here, because I know with Roth's input, and I know there should be a third party, but we can discuss more with ODA and see if there is another way to encourage this kind of reportings in the future. And
sorry,
but you're okay with this language here, right?
I am.
Yeah. And 1.3, it's okay, right? It's just about the publication that OSU has. Okay, moving on to pesticide regulation, task 2. Any concerns anywhere on that page?
Oh, excuse me, just a second. I'm sorry.
Task 2, pesticide regulation.
Back on this one, this book, How to Reduce mm-hmm. Bee Poisonings from
yeah.
Pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kick myself for bringing this up, but a lot of what we're trying to do, I think, is educate people on a broad base mm-hmm. of how to deal with and have pollinator health in general, which might not even use pesticides at all
yeah.
from an educational level. This seems to be targeted at
it's
pesticides.
Just,
is that what you want to do?
I think this was, George, I think you were more favorable for this one, right? Having that pesticide poisoning booklet to be produced both in an app form and as well as circulating it more in numbers as well?
What number are we
looking at? It's 1.3.
I have it as 1.2A. Is that?
Yeah, I think.
But it means we will.
Beth has changed
yeah.
it to 1.3
okay.
now. Yeah.
Good. I think that makes more. Okay.
So, George, it says funding should be provided to more widely distribute, regularly update, and create mobile applications of the OSU publication, How to Reduce Bee Poisoning from Pesticides.
And the question for me is?
Does that publication include not using pesticides in the first place? Is that one of the ways in which you would avoid using pesticides?
There's a section at the beginning of it, isn't there, Ramesh, that talks about these choices. What are your options?
Yeah, it does talk about how to reduce pyrethrum. I mean, in general, with IPM, and there are several other things that it suggests as well.
It's useful for others, but it's most geared for
commercial beekeepers and applicators and others as well.
Okay.
It's a report that I think both Scott and I feel has good value to. Just to give the breadth.
Good. Sounds wonderful.
At the very end, before we get to two, I had added in a concern a long time ago that native bees cannot be removed from a treatment site. I think I realize now after George's emails that honestly it's pretty hard to remove managed bees. And so at the end of the one section, do we want to clarify native bees cannot be removed from a treatment site? Furthermore, there are also significant hurdles to removing managed bees, because that's always the first thing listed in a BMP. Remove them, give them 48 hours. And I guess it's a question to George. I felt like my adding in the native bees brought up the reality that, oh, wait, it's not so easy for managed either.
I'm not too sure where that actually is in our recommendation.
It's one of the barriers to progress. And the barrier to progress I put in is native bees cannot be removed from a treatment site. But then I learned from you that it's a pretty significant barrier that managed bees cannot necessarily be removed from a treatment site. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to lose that important piece of information that most people don't realize.
Can add another sentence there for commercial bees as well. Because he's comparing it. Is this something which came out of George's Beth, or the last sentence, native bees cannot be removed?
No, I think that was something that Ame added.
I added that.
And so what she's suggesting now is that, so you're right above task force recommendations. It currently reads, native bees cannot be removed from a treatment site in the same manner as managed bees. She's suggesting that be amended to say native bees cannot be removed from a treatment site. Furthermore, there are also significant hurdles to removing managed bees.
I think that's a true statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone else is okay with that as well? Okay, moving on to 2.1, pesticide labels.
Yeah, before we get there on the summary part, I just had a question of clarification. When it talks about, at the bottom of page 5, it says there have been 7 reported bee die-offs instance in Oregon. I could only come up with 5 in my mind, so I could be wrong, but I couldn't come up with 7.
I have a memo that I didn't go back and pull out, but from ODA that gave me the number 7.
Okay.
So I can go back and double check that, but that's what they told me.
And I mean, it's not a big deal. We want to have an accurate number there. I just was going through in my head and couldn't come up with 7.
I had 6 with 5. I started with 5, but they said 7. So.
Okay. 2.1, pesticide labels. So
I don't have anything until 2.9.
Beth, you want to remove that 2.3 from there and put for BMP, or can it stay there? Do you still have that, or did you move it?
Oh, yeah, there was a question there, whether or not to move that to the BMP section. That was something that you discussed at the last meeting.
For those who don't have the right one, I'm just going to read 2.3. It says, develop and make available best management practices on use of pesticides, including neonics.
I thought we agreed, and I was looking at it. I thought it looked like it would fit as 4.2 and make 4.3. But.
Makes sense to me.
Okay.
So I don't get to vote.
Any objections on that? Okay, that can go to 4 point something, right?
4.2.
Okay. Anything on 2.4, pesticide labels?
The one thing I might suggest there, instead of saying bilingual language challenges, you might change that, because there are multiple languages rather than just bilingual. So we could say to alleviate language barriers.
Okay. Good point.
Language
language barriers, yeah.
Yeah, barriers instead of challenges.
I only have about 70 at my local high school, so.
78 languages?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Nice.
It is.
2.5, specific pesticide use restrictions. Point 6, pesticide use inspections and penalties. 2.7, pesticide use inspection. Oh, same thing again, or what is that?
I have to say something about 2.7. When I mentioned to our enforcement staff that there was a suggestion that their procedures were not systematic. They had a difference in opinion about that.
It says more. Do they have other language?
I'm wondering if what people want is a transparency as far as what their process is when they conduct these inspections. And so it's more obvious what the process is. And so to write that down and, you know, have that on our website or provide that information during presentations, that's really what I'm seeing as a need, because it seems like that there's a suggestion that it's not systematic.
I think this was more Rose, because I thought, because you guys don't have much of manpower to do inspections, right? Random, so probably you guys are doing some random. Is it a more systematic already?
What it is it's basically responding to complaints. Mm-hmm. When we're dealing with bee issues, it's alleged bee kills. So that's. So you're talking about having more of regular inspections?
Yeah, so this actually, it wasn't even my idea, actually. I was talking to a beekeeper, and they said it would be useful if the applicators know that ODA has a more systematic program where they have a certain frequency where they come and inspect on if someone is spraying, suppose, somewhere in outside Salem or somewhere, and someone goes from ODA and says, okay, what are you spraying? And just some general questions as per your protocol. And then people know that there is a set program that ODA would inspect randomly. Right now, I don't think with the manpower you guys have, that program might be that robust.
Yeah. Let me work on the wording of that and send that to you.
Yeah, so this was from a beekeeper, I think, yeah.
How about just change the word to the ODA should review its inspection program to assure that... is whatever. I mean, what are we trying to accomplish here? It is robust and complete, or...
I know Scott had a comment. He said, usually the neighbors watch them. I still remember that conversation. I agree with that, but...
It's true. I'll tell you.
Some neighbors.
It would proactive fit in there somewhere, like instead of systematic,
yeah,
have a more proactive inspection program.
Yeah,
you want people to be going out on a regular basis.
Okay.
Or at least...
That hits
think
my goals.
That they might be inspected on a regular basis, or
so not so complaint driven then.
Right. In addition to being complaint driven.
Okay. The other that hits most of my interest. Thank you.
Okay. Anything on 2.8? Pesticide labels again. Point 9, specific pesticide use restrictions.
I had a question, because I know Rose had said ODA is already looking into this expansion, and then Scott, you said you would check with people.
Yeah, and I did, and where I got the most significant concerns is from the applicator community right now, because they're feeling squeezed on the amount of products they have left to treat linden trees, because they are still under pressure from customers to treat linden trees. I mean, especially cities that type of work, parking lot work, and they have a very hard time supporting an exclusion on those products right now when we haven't seen a problem specifically with those products. And so until we can find some viable alternatives for them, I'm not going to be able to support that at this time.
So the question is, were they using those products before? Do we know how much they were using those products as compared
to
the
one I talked to is continuing to use the same product, which is thiamethoxam. So they have been using it before. So it was not a replacement in his case.
In his case.
I can't say more than that on a broader scale, but I can say in that case it was.
I'm just from thiamethoxam and clothianidin are both also extremely toxic, long-lived, meaning they can be in the tree multiple years. So if it's the same customer year after year, it concerns me. And I don't think any of us want more incidents. Is there a way, can we, ODA is going to continue to look into this, can part of what we have as a charge, because I don't think as a group we're going to have consensus around banning them, can we, as, and I would like to leave this as
split opinion,
is there a way that we can have something, ODA is looking into alternatives to other highly toxic, long-lived systemic insecticides in linden tree use? I mean, these are two neonicotinoids, same mode of action, clothianidin probably being the most toxic and long-lived of all of them. I mean, half-life at years, meaning it takes the rule of thumb is 5 half-lives before you get rid of it, and if you're doing it every year. Is that something we could look at?
Yeah, I've actually been talking to Rose about doing that specifically because where the applicators are at is they're very much, if you give us an alternative that can work in a similar way for us, we are more than happy to use something alternatively. But until we have that, the other alternatives we have available right now are products that you do a foliar spray every 7 to 14 days during the season. And that's not a viable alternative for controlling. And I mean, it's very difficult when you're talking, especially in an urban environment, for somebody to be out there doing foliar sprays every 7 to 14 days. And so this goes back to that alternatives thing where just because you remove that product doesn't mean people are going to stop treating linden trees for aphids. They're going to look for some other way to do that, and that comes with its own set of trade-offs. And so we're working with, I've been interacting with Rose trying to find, see if we can dig up some of those products because there's just not a lot registered for those products. I mean, it's not a big use of the products, and so it.
There are a few that have their own issues. You know, imazamec and benzoate, I think.
Yeah, we are having conversations with pesticide registrants, and I have a phone conference this week with Syngenta about a product because I had sent Scott an email about one product, and he said, well, that's just foliar. They're going to want drench. And so there is a drench product, and I'm going to be talking with their scientist to see if it would be appropriate for use on linden trees because we also do share concerns about thiamethoxam and clothianidin because they last a long time, and they also go to the nectar. That if we have more bee incidents in Oregon, that on a national level, that will even have additional changes. I mean, we actually want to maintain availability of pest control products. And if we have continued bee incidents, then there will be restrictions at even a national level. And so it's really, I think, in our best interest not to have continued incidents.
Yeah.
And that's something, and I think that's why a lot of people are open to these discussions because nobody wants to see bees die.
So, yeah, I mean, the Wilson vote. But so is there a place for a consensus? Is there something that we could do as a task force to help? You know, we're going to write a letter to EPA about homeowner use. Okay, is there something that we as a task force could do on this issue? That's my question then. And do we have time?
Kind of a question I've always had for a long time, so might as well. If you have the drench and it has, say, a lifetime of 7 years, obviously you don't want to, can I assume that you don't want to apply it every year if it has a 7-year life? Is that true or not?
Who wants to answer that dirty secret?
No, I would say no, there's just so many factors, and I mean, you've got a general half-life and a studied environment. The environment varies so much from different places that judging the effectiveness year after year, I mean, there's potential for it to be longer lasting and still have effectiveness, but there's also potential for it not to, and so it's, I don't think there's an easy answer to that question, I'll put it that way.
And it depends on the applicator. I mean, because you're going to see, like, you know, for Emerald Ash Borer, they might say it'll last for 4 years, and but when it depends on the customer. The customer might want the treatment every year, and if the label allows it.
Two questions. If I am using this, how do I know when I do need to apply it again? And are there records kept of the application frequency?
So there's two answers to that. Okay. One, the label defines how often you can apply in a given year, or the frequency on which an application can take place. And so that is basically a judgment call has to be made off of that, but that's the restriction on it. And then as far as records, if you're doing a commercial application, which would be most of these parking lot or city type applications, yes, they all have very robust records.
So we can look back at Wilsonville and see that they had applications prior years.
Exactly. Okay.
Can I make a suggestion on this particular recommendation? What if you just change the language for 2.9A to read ODA should continue to investigate alternatives to the use of neonics on linden trees? And that's what you're talking about, what you're doing right now. I'm not sure beyond that, MA, what the task force can do if you're looking to have a recommendation move up to general agreement or consensus.
I'd actually rather leave this one here because I think there was a majority of people that supported the two being, you know. I mean, I guess we left it as investigate because we were hoping to have you move and agree with it.
Right. That having been said, is it possible that we include Beth's statement? Is there consensus around that statement? And then keep the one which there's a split decision on. And is there any strength in doing that? To say that we support the ODA to continue its investigation of alternatives for use. Is there consensus around that statement? If there is, then I think we should include it as a consensus and keep this one separate because that's a strong opinion held by a member of the group.
Mm-hmm. Members.
Okay. Would that be okay, Scott?
I'm fine with
to
that.
Move that A to consensus.
With ODA to do that right now anyway. So.
Okay.
To move this investigate thing to consensus.
Okay.
And Representative Rubin, you asked about pesticide labels and whether there was any cautioning as far as not to apply them year after year. We actually talked to EPA about that, particularly with the drench applications, because we were a little suspicious of what happened in Hillsboro in particular, and that was a bark application.
Right.
These tend to be at higher rates. These materials break down in sunlight, and when you put them in the soil, they're just not breaking down that quickly. And they said it would not be enforceable, that they couldn't figure out a way on a pesticide label to say only apply it every other year.
Bigger labels, I guess.
Okay.
That is not going in as a recommendation.
DVDs? Okay, 2.1?
Apps.
2.1 violations, inspections, penalties, enforcement. George, do you have anything to say there?
We're on 3 now?
No,
there's a 2.1. 2.10, sorry.
Oh, 2.10. Okay.
The 0 isn't visible here on my...
Yeah, is that a proper... If we have a 2.1, can we have a 2.10 and it's different? Isn't that the same thing? No. I mean...
Right, yeah, if you ignore zeros, then...
It's fine.
Or is that the way that the government works?
We could change the whole thing to 2A.
For the government, it works, I guess. So.
Sorry, I was lost.
Mm-hmm. 2.11 or 2.11 based on the government?
So this was an interesting case, 2.11B, in that during the email input to Beth, there was input made onto 2.11B that I didn't realize was now part of 2.11B. And so if we read it,
consumer information on pesticides. Similar to Minnesota's new law, Oregon should enact a law prohibiting a label of plants and plant material that have been treated with a highly toxic long, well, that it's had, sorry, treated with be toxic. Sorry, I'm trying to read the two edits and I can't. The point to me is it was added in that it still have detectable levels, which makes it, from an enforcement standpoint, almost impossible. And that was an extremely volatile issue in Minnesota, whether that be there, because you can't test every plant. And the person who added that, I think it was you, Scott, I went back and looked into it wasn't added during the conversation, it was added in email edits. And I would like to remove that, the part that said, and has a detectable level. But in response, recognizing the question that they had, I thought we could define it as long-lived systemic pesticides. Am I making sense?
So you want to add that to...
I wanted to remove the language that there's still detectable level and then better define, I think the language in Minnesota was this bee killing or bee toxic pesticide that we don't have to have. We could define it as, you know, highly toxic long-lived systemic insecticides instead of having a sort of inflammatory language.
Okay.
So Amay's language would read, similar to Minnesota's new law, Oregon should enact a law to prohibit the labeling of plants and plant materials as pollinator-friendly if they have been treated with a highly toxic, long-lived systemic insecticide. Stace.
Mr. Chair, I put this in the report. I vigorously dislike this particular one.
Right.
Just want to make sure that that doesn't go by.
I think
it's split.
There's little we could do with this that would keep it from being a split decision. In other words,
it makes it a harder no for me. But
yeah, I mean, I just don't see the point.
But since it's a split opinion and the edit was made by someone who already disagreed with it, I don't want that edit in it because I disagree.
It's fine. I just don't see the point of having it.
Maybe some foolish, you know, progressive person out there might actually like it anyway. I don't know. I want the language to reflect what we want is more so.
But no bee is going to read that sign before they come flying up to the plant.
A consumer should know what they're buying, and if they're buying something when they're looking at plants and we're finding 50% of the plants that are out there and a lot of retailers have these chemicals on them, consumers should know whether that's there or not. And I, you know, some entities are doing, and I agree that it's fine, we can disagree. I would like this to reflect to what I want it to be since it's already split anyway.
And I'm fine with that edit, yeah.
Knowing it's not moving anywhere, but it's hard for me to read it otherwise.
But just as a point of clarification, I guess for the record, if it doesn't have a detectable level of anything, what's the significance of that? I mean, why would that
That's
be
not the
even
point.
A further benefit to something like this?
The point is it's not enforceable to have to test every plant, whether it has it on it or not. And so it's become very challenging in Minnesota to figure out how to enforce it. So by stating that it has to be a long-lived chemical, and that would be something, and it's not moving anywhere, but that's the point. The fact that you cannot test everything for what the detectable level is, you're pulling everything off the shelves.
I just wanted to say, and I don't know too much about this, but I had heard from a reputable source that, in fact, Home Depot is taking some action on this particular issue already, and that there's a good chance that Lowe's and some other major retailers are actually reacting to this issue. So, as is the case with so many things, we don't, you know, this is out of our control in a certain way, and that some retailers are reacting to the general consumer perception of this issue and are meeting their needs. So I, you know, this is a split decision. I don't think that the words, no matter what words we use, are ever going to change that. But no, I respect your wishes there for an edit that makes sense. But I think there's a little bit of, well, I won't even say it. I think it's ironic because I think this issue is going to solve itself.
The market is driving.
Because the market's driving it.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is where we would leave it.
Yeah. Any other comments, Scott? Jeff?
I answered either, Scott or Jeff. But the detectable part was one that I think is an important consideration here. I agree with my good friend, Mr. Hansen, that the market is going to drive this. I also think the market is going to see less quality on plants, and the market will recorrect itself, and they're just going to say, we don't want stuff with bugs on it, that it's staying on the shelf. And especially, you got to have consideration that most of these operations are pay-by-scan operations, so the grower does not get paid unless the plant gets sold. So then you have plants getting dumped, the grower not getting paid for something that is not, I mean, I understand that we want to try to have good, healthy plants out there, but if it's not detectable, that is the point that I'm raising as an issue here.
If keeping detectable in there brought you to the side that you were in support, it'd be, I would feel a lot better about that. I understand.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's going to be large agreement amongst the table here on on this issue. I think we need to acknowledge when we're starting to tell growers how to grow and what they feel are the best alternatives that they have in order to treat these plants so they are, they're market ready.
And this has nothing to tell them what to do. It's a consumer information, and it's consumer information that some people would agree with getting and other people would disagree with. But it's not telling growers how to grow. And I understand I have concerns about some of the messages that are out there that are confusing for consumers. I get that. I really do.
I'm not trying to change hearts and minds on this. I just want to make sure that I have this out on the record because I think I don't think you're getting what you want with this sentence. But
it's already listed under split opinions.
Yeah. That's why I'm.
Yeah. No. I appreciate
that's why
your
I'm not
comments.
Yep.
The desk. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. And moving on to Licensing and Training of Pesticide Applicators, Task 3, 3.1.
Sorry I let this slip by me. 3.1B, I thought I voted a 3 on that, and it would then be pushed to general agreement, and I don't know how I missed that earlier. I sent that to Beth.
Which one are you talking about?
3.1B.
Above that, on that page, I net it in the narrative section under improved knowledge of homeowners applying general use pesticides. It says homeowners applying pesticide products typically have no training in pesticide use, and then it goes on to say, and may believe more is better. I think the sentence should be ended at no training in pesticide use.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other is a little subjective.
Yeah.
Got that. Good.
Okay, 3.1, and I think you said B, you have a concern? Or?
So B should be moved to general.
Just because I had a 3, yeah, okay. I think that's what happens.
So what's the change?
Any objections on that?
There's no change to it, just that, it would be under general agreement. Oh.
3.2. Which is applicator training. 3.3, pesticide use reporting, which is already, it's in the general agreement.
How much time? We have 40 minutes?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to rush and see. Do you have some comments there? Or?
Just, I didn't understand why it said business and commercial pesticide use, and it's fine that it does. It's just that the program as it stands does have a survey for homeowners, and I just was surprised that it was narrowed to that, and I didn't know why.
Yeah, I think that was just an error.
Okay.
You have homeowners.
Yeah.
You can't track homeowner use.
They did surveys in Oregon. It was a very interesting process. Okay, so you don't want it?
It was part of the program. So if the recommendation is to fund the previous program, Amay's correct that it involved homeowner surveys as well.
But I think it should be discussed once we get to that point if anyone ever wanted to bring it forward. Okay. I mean, we would have to talk about the fact the bank guy who does puts down a bait too.
I'm not just going to add homeowners back in here. I mean, that wouldn't work, but I'll change the language so that it's consistent with what the previous program did.
Does that make sense? Take much time,
okay.
Contentious ones.
Okay. Well, Ramesh and I just made an agreement that whoever talks the most in the next 40 minutes has to buy lunch if we go past noon. Just
saying. I'm fairly confident I won't win that.
Even Jeff, I think, is second in line.
Okay. Well, it's going to be me, so.
All right. I hope you brought your wallet.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I didn't.
Okay, so are we okay with 3.3, right? No.
Yeah.
3.4, licensing.
You're penalizing the one person who read the whole report.
Huh?
Who else read the whole report? Maybe you did.
Yeah, of course I read the whole report.
I have a question on 3.4B. Currently, it's required that if somebody's giving crop or advice on restricted use pesticides, that they have to be licensed. It's actually one of the hardest exams. Mm-hmm. And this is almost... If somebody didn't know that, they would not think that was true. So, but if somebody is just providing advice on general use, they do not need to be licensed. Maybe that could be clarified a little bit there.
Rose, can I just work with you to get that?
You can just put in general use before pesticides.
Yeah, that might work.
So does that mean that master gardeners would are they giving advice on purchase and use of pesticides, and would they be required to have a license? I mean, shouldn't we avoid that somehow with our language?
Yeah, good point. But it says crop advice.
Am I reading this
wrong?
No.
No.
You're completely correct.
And there was also something about that later, I remember. That maybe it was just for retail. But yeah, it does.
George.
Or you want to say on a commercial scale or something? I don't know.
Well, I think we should avoid that. Somehow find some language where we're not talking about master gardeners.
Or the Home Depot clerk.
Or the Home Depot clerk or whatever. Yeah.
Let them continue to give advice. So where is it a consensus? Is it?
It's a
split anyway.
You want to talk to?
I can work with Rose.
Yeah, okay. Beth will work with Rose. If George has, maybe you can invite George as well if he wants to come with some language. 3.5, point of purchase pesticide use education. Okay, then we'll switch to task for best management practices. Hopefully, we'll finish this fast. 4.1, best management practices.
So I brought this up last time under identified barriers. It's not required that you bring in public process to write BMPs. And I just would likely entail. It's not required. And I think it gives the wrong message. Because that can be very costly and slow, and there's a lot of BMPs written without a public process.
Could be may require.
Would likely entail.
There is may, I think, she included, right?
No.
It says BMPs may require.
No, right now it says will require.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The one you sent me has a may in there.
Change will to may.
Okay. It didn't change.
I don't know why it's
maybe
like
your
that.
Great.
Okay.
Microsoft Word didn't take it.
Those drafting tricks.
Yeah, that I don't even know about. Okay, May.
Yeah. Okay. 4.1, best management practices. 4.2, state-owned lands.
Yeah, this is where I think we didn't get a chance to work on this, but I don't see why we just isolate ODOT and then down below. I think if we could find some consensus language, we could be more inclusive than just ODOT on public lands, right-of-ways, and other issues, state-owned lands or controlled lands. And I think we should do that. And I would personally like to include incorporate native plants and other appropriate pollinator plants. Use the appropriate word, not exclude things that are not native if they are appropriate for a use.
We want to use pollinator friendly or something.
Native and other pollinator attractive plants. Native and, narrow.
But make sure you use the word appropriate, because it's not, there are some that are not appropriate. They may be appropriate for a right-of-way power grid or something like that, but not appropriate for a roadside. And you don't want to take the decision-making ability away from the agency to decide what is appropriate.
Another pollinator.
And I also put, as a preface to that, where practicable, to try to get at ODOT's concern where it's not practical to do it everywhere.
Right.
And so they need to be able to have that discretion.
Yeah. I think we talked about that last time, actually.
Yeah, doing something like that.
Okay. I'm sure. So we're looking at 4.3A, right?
4.2.
Not yet. Okay.
Sorry.
We'll be there soon.
We'll get down there.
And then ODOT had some comments, right? Beth, you received some comments from an ODOT personnel about a little bit change in language there?
Yeah, and which I think actually Scott's comment will address.
Okay.
Because in part they were just concerned that it would be contrary to their other objective, safety,
line
primarily.
Of sight.
Yeah, so I think with that change that they'll be more comfortable.
We have some language for that's more broad than just targeting ODOT?
Yeah. I mean, even ODOT had some concerns that we were probably making them do some things, which probably they have to consider some other areas as well before they plant for safety and other things too. So,
one other piece that Xerces is actually working with the Federal Highway Administration right now on how to create pollinator habitat along roadsides, and one of the things that they're working on is not just incorporating these plants but managing them, and to not tell them to manage is a real failure and on our so that was I would incorporate and manage pollinator protect. That was the recommendation I got from staff working.
So beyond that, to George's point about the other agencies that are manage land, the other recommendation fell into split opinion that the legislature should direct agencies to then it goes on. I'm not sure how to reconcile that. I mean, I think the ODOT specific recommendation fell into consensus. The others didn't. There wasn't a lot of discussion about that, so.
Well, yeah, we never got to this last time, and I just feel like I thought that we could get a more inclusive list if we had some discussion about what it was we were asking them to do, and if we're okay with asking ODOT to do this with these changes, these edits. I would think, in general, I'm just throwing out as a possibility, that it would be reasonable and acceptable to ask the other agencies to do the same thing, if it's a broad enough language. I'm just thinking this stands out as a to just isolate them.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure. I think that the fact that these were split decisions had to do with the actual language of the proposal more than the overriding idea. It wasn't, I don't think we were, I'm not too sure, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we were saying we shouldn't do this as an overriding idea. It's just that the proposal that hit the table had flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we haven't had a chance to revisit this.
So you want here saying other state agencies such as ODOT or something like that? That would be enough?
People who disagreed, whatever.
I can't remember if I agreed or disagreed. I can tell you that my concern overall would be I always get nervous when you start directing a state agency that they have to do something. because there's a lot of state agencies and they have a lot of different roles, and you'll run, I mean, start running into, you know, all the Department of Forestry lands are Department of Forestry lands, but those are forest habitats, and, you know, putting a focus on doing pollinator habitat in some of those areas might run contrary to other things they have to do there. And so I think it's appropriate to have them consider that as part of their plan. I think that's completely appropriate for all agencies. But as far as giving strict direction of you need to do this, is where my concern comes in.
How do you get them to consider it in a way? I mean, other than just having coffee someday and just, you know, how do you know when they have fully considered it? And I'm not challenging what you're saying. I think it's
I think it's more to put it on their radar more than anything. I mean, yeah. They go through these things and they, you know, when they're, you know, when it suggests they consider it, then it becomes part of what they do. I mean, I don't think there's a way that we can make them do it. And I think if we try to do that, there's going to be significant pushback and it will actually be counterproductive. So I think it's more putting it on the radar of another consideration that should be made when they're managing those lands. And I know that's not a great answer, but the only alternative to me is to actually direct something and have a formal process for them. And that, to me, goes...
Well, it's very expensive as well.
Yeah.
And we haven't delved into it deep enough to know exactly. I mean, with what's interesting here is there is a lot of movement for our roadsides to become more pollinator attractive. And other places, forestry, it could be tricky to assume that we want to have pollinator habitat there. I don't know how I feel. But I do think it's something, but I don't mind broadening it because it's as practicable. And it's just an idea that someone can latch onto and dig in deeper.
So, George, you were at that meeting, right? The National Meeting on Nutrition Summit. So there might be agencies from different federal agencies might have been there. So any input from them on how to change this language here?
Well, that that's a different story. But basically, the federal agencies just said, you know, Fish and Wildlife and Forestry and BLM and National Parks all gave reports. And they say, well, we have our rules and regulations, and you know, it either allows or doesn't allow it. And you know, it was kind of left there, although there was clear indication that the president's memorandum and other USDA and interior initiatives, there was going to be some pressure on them to change those rules and regulations and procedures and all of that. But at this point, how about asking? So, I mean, there's no direction from there. That was actually a pretty disappointing part of that meeting.
So they're not very serious yet.
Well, they haven't had to seriously approach this. But how about language like state agencies, however you say that, broad, should prioritize the use of native plants and other appropriate. And other appropriate plants into their management to support pollinator health as, what was your caveat, as applicable? As
practicable.
As practicable. So if you just say to prioritize it, you know, ask them to do that, and then, but you give them the out if it's not practical or...
Well, you're giving them two outs, so my only problem when I read your suggestions. We have a should, which sounds like that's a really great idea if you feel like it.
Yeah.
And then as practical. So is there a way to have it, it's a little bit more encouragement, should do it to the greatest extent possible?
Will as practicable?
Yeah. Shall.
Shall.
They shall as they see fit. No, as...
as Rose sees fit.
Is it possible to change the language in 4.7a to make and use that? So it take out the first phrase there, and I guess you'll have to decide whether you want where practicable or not to precede this. But one option is where practicable, state agencies that manage lands, parks, rights of ways, and other properties should consider use of existing funding and making a priority the development and maintenance of pollinator habitat,
like
blah, blah, blah. And then the question then is whether that moves up to consensus with those, or if that's, for some of you, too many caveats.
I like that one.
Did you keep that last sentence about the presidential memorandum?
Yes.
All of it? All of
yes.
it going in?
Uh-huh. As appropriate.
I think just 4.7A.
Yeah.
Moving up.
With some changes.
What do you think?
Is it okay with others? Betsy? Scott?
And I guess, too, if everyone can take a quick look at 4.7B and whether that moves as well. It's a review of state policies. I mean, to the question Representative Rudin had about, is this just encouragement? Is there anything more? Review should be conducted of state policies that address these issues, basically, the use of these plants and management on state-owned lands to improve pollinator habitat.
So a review sounds more substantial to me than a suggestion that uh-huh. you might want to try this.
Mm-hmm.
So that right now is in split opinion. Is I don't know if
I'm fine with review, but I have problems with making recommendations on pesticide and herbicide applications.
Okay. So
if we're talking about doing pollinator friendly
mm-hmm.
vegetation plantings, more than happy to talk about that. But they already talk yeah. about the pesticide herbicide stuff.
So put a period at the comma.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for the record, herbicides are pesticides.
Yeah,
I gave mm-hmm. that edit. I gave her that one. I wouldn't. I
sorry, that's my.
No, I know. That's my chat.
So
yeah. Encouraging making right of way friendly to pollinators through pollinator friendly plantings. I mean, pollinator friendly plantings, I don't want to assume that it doesn't include. I mean, it wouldn't be a pollinator friendly planting if it was doused in some of the chemicals that might cause harm to them. So. I mean, it's great to go consensus, but I don't want to, if we're losing, and hopefully that would be part of what's discussed.
Okay. So you are okay with moving A, right? 4.7A to consensus, leaving the B like that?
So if B ends at the after plantings on the second line, do they both move up to consensus?
But she's not okay with that.
I guess I have a question. I guess I'm concerned.
It can stay as it is right where it is.
I would think if someone is going, I don't know. What do other people think? If it's not called out, are people going to be aware to think about what products are being used in their pollinator-friendly plantings?
The one thing I would say about a review is we shouldn't tell them what the outcome of the review should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, you know, a point of concern that I would have is we're saying a review should be conducted, you know, restricting some pesticides and or herbicides. Again, the same thing.
Okay.
We shouldn't tell them what the review is going to say.
Right.
So you perfect. Could even
so
stop
let's put
after
the period
pollinators.
There. Yeah.
So just a review should be conducted of state policies covering the use of or encouraging making. I'm not sure it should just be right of ways either.
Right. Yeah, I was just noticed that too. Friendly to the pollinators. Period.
Yeah. State lands.
Thank you, Doug.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, what was final reading on it?
It would be a review should be conducted of state policies covering the use of or encouraging
making
state lands.
We have local in there too.
Publicly owned lands, mm-hmm. state lands, state and local. This might be getting to be too many changes.
Okay. Good.
Friendly to pollinators,
yep.
period.
And the last three lines are gone, right?
Yep.
Okay. And they all move to consensus. Is that fine?
So this is now consensus.
Objections? Yeah.
Fine. Yay.
It replaces 4.2?
Yes.
If we agree to that.
That's what I'm
that's what I would do.
It would be just this 4.7B. We are not considering 4.7A.
No,
it'd be both.
Both.
And I think we're taking out the legislature should do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Start with CD. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
So are you including landscaping around buildings also?
Well, if it's, I guess I would, given how broad the language is, yes. Where in those circumstances where that's state-owned property.
Okay.
Well, we're just asking them to do a review and to decide what to do. We're not telling them what they have to do mm-hmm. with that.
Okay. 4.3.
That it's that same A, it's that same ODA language alone, and I think we had it in collaboration. Minor piece that we agreed to.
So this 4.3A can go to consensus, right? I don't see why it is.
I don't understand why it isn't consensus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think anyone had any objection. Maybe it's just an accidental thing.
On which one?
4.3A, where it says ODA should prepare and implement an Oregon pollinator health strategy. I thought that was a consensus.
Oh, yeah. I was looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, okay, then... B.
I was wondering why that isn't consensus.
Yeah.
I don't know what the issue is.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, I guess. Talking about presidential memorandum. Is that okay if it moves to consensus as well? 4.3B, where it says the Oregon pollinator health strategy should be should also serve as state plan to implement appropriate portions of presidential memorandum. And even C is fine too, right?
Yes, all those are consistent.
Yeah, I think they all, okay. Probably they were just accidentally put over there, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have, I'd put in as appropriate for B. It may, I mean, there's a lot of places that it's not appropriate. I don't know that that matters.
With sentence?
B, to start, Oregon pollinator health strategy. It really matters.
What was your
concern?
Did
you
get
that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just said as appropriate, because I think there's things in the president's memorandum that don't have any relevance to us necessarily.
Well, that's what it says, though. Implement appropriate portions of the presidential memorandum.
I wanted appropriate twice. No, you're right. Thank you.
Okay, 4.4.
I don't have that.
Okay.
It does. It implement appropriate portions. I don't know why that happened in some of these.
Serve the statement to protect.
I'm going to figure it out.
4.4, best management practices.
Okay. I must have another version or something.
So are you that on general agreement?
The 4.4 as well, right?
I had one point on 4.4. We have it right now. It's to different crops grown in our region, and I was a little bit concerned. One of the things that we're realizing more and more is there's a lot of non-pollinator dependent crops that pollinators visit, and I wanted to make sure that we didn't hone in and miss out on some crops. And I have, the way I would change the language is as such.
Is it 4.4?
This is 4.4.
Okay.
So at the end, roadside agriculture uses, and it said to protect native and managed pollinators, and we could just have a period there.
Yeah, and there, it's just fluffy language.
Yeah.
So to protect native.
I had
pollinators.
Some other fluffy language to change it too, but I think we should just have a period.
George, anything on 4.4?
Well, I just had a question mark. Why, you know, it sounds like you had worked out some issues. I didn't know what the issue was here, why it wasn't consensus.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think
going
it
to,
probably should have been.
Yeah. So 4.4 goes to consensus as well. 4.5 locally owned and private lands. Any comments on that or suggestions?
We kind of covered most of that in what mm-hmm. our new
okay.
4.2
top is, 4.2 or whatever.
So we don't need that or 4.5?
It was different. It was, I mean, we don't need, different? We can make the same sort of edits to it, but it was about, I just flipped away from it, so I was done, sorry. It was about private lands or something, was it? Where am I? Yeah, this is about private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, locally owned and private lands.
So I don't know that we'd want to cut it. But
did we cover local in the previous one?
We did
one?
Before we did. Cover local, so we could cut out local for sure.
So it just says private lands now, or?
That's kind of a funny thing, though. I mean, the Oregon legislature should encourage people on private lands to make it pollinator-friendly. I mean,
yeah, they should.
I mean, yeah, this is great, this flowery, but it, no pun intended there.
Doesn't happen.
But really,
you could put donut hat with all kinds of pollinators.
Without some kind of scheme, you know, to incentivize that, you know, and that's way different scoping, I think, than what we were mm-hmm. looking at right now.
I'm fine with it there, but I also feel like it could easily not be there.
There are companies outside this particular task force that want to do this, and if we can just give them an ounce of encouragement to, we think it's a good idea, it's not going to hurt anything.
Okay.
And there are incentives, actually. I mean, there are federal incentives for private landowners to do this kind of stuff, but I don't. So what do we decide to do?
So then why don't we say, just get out the Oregon legislature should and
yeah.
say encourage counties, municipalities, and then that leaves open for private people too to
that's
encourage
good, yeah.
this
okay.
kind
yes,
of work.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good.
Yes.
I just unless we have yeah. a particular piece of legislation in mind, I hate using language like the legislature should.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the lobbyist nerd in me coming out.
So
every once in a while, that's useful.
So if we do that, then this becomes a consensus. We drop the.
Yeah, I think it is also consensus probably now. Yeah.
Fine. Okay.
Okay. Then there are some split opinion recommendations. I don't know why best management practices is listed.
Another question on 4.5b and why the pesticide stewardship partnership, which is a water quality program, is mentioned in here with pollinator health. I'm not sure how they're related to each other.
I was going to ask the same question.
I don't remember who made this recommendation initially.
I thought it was you, Jeff, because I remember being concerned about the stewardship partnership, because the name was written wrong, and we had to alter it.
Well, since I have no recollection, we can strike the whole thing.
Okay.
He's already struck it.
Okay.
Well, it's not the first time I've disagreed with what I said.
Okay, Jeff. Okay, the 4.6 best management practices, I think this should be consensus as well, right? Say scalable, voluntary BMPs were.
Not the first time.
Okay. I think there was discussion about this initially, but maybe not.
Just asking to develop, right? So.
I think I was actually one of the no's on that because I thought it was so
vague,
and it was just sort of like we had other things that were similar that were a little clearer.
Okay.
So that's the place where I'm moving the other one too. So let me.
Yeah, we can strike it down then if we.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's already been covered, then we can take it out.
Okay.
It's just confusing to have one.
Yeah.
And 4.7 has gone to the other section, so 4.8, which says private lands again here. Is it something that can again be, is it different, am I?
It's more specific about restricting pesticide applications.
Okay. So probably it could stay there, right?
Yes, I think so.
Stay where it is.
So we're okay with everything except the reference to pesticides and herbicides?
No,
I am more concerned with private landowner stuff.
We're all in different places, I think. So on 4.6, which is where Beth was just looking, I thought it was still split decision. I wasn't that excited about it because it was so vague. So I would leave it there.
But most of that has been discussed somewhere else.
But then Beth was concerned that maybe some of the other pieces were more narrow, which is what I liked.
So on BMPs, there was a 2.3 that is develop and make available best management practices on use of pesticides, including neonics. So that is being moved, and that was a consensus recommendation. That's being moved to this section, and my understanding was then I should just strike 4.6 because it's...
Yeah, so that comes here, right?
Okay. And then the place that I was talking about, the language regarding restricting pesticide applications, is under 4.8, private lands. And it sounds like that should stay split opinion.
Yes. Okay.
We have 10 minutes.
Yeah, only 10 more minutes to finish.
Research.
Yeah, if you guys are okay with 4, then go into task 5, research needs. Pollinator health. Is that what you have?
Yes.
It just says B. It just refers to B health.
Here it says pollinator health.
Bee pest and disease.
Maybe you have a wrong one.
Honeybees. Honeybee colony health and native bees. Okay. If it says just bee nutrition, does it include every bee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
On a number of these, had concerns. So I just didn't feel like I knew enough yet to be a part of saying I'm a 4 or 5, and I still unfortunately feel I'm still at that place with some of these. And I had contacted Beth. I didn't remember us being consensus on all of the research.
Which ones are?
So the ones of that immediately pop up to me that of concern were B, C, and F.
So what is B?
And I'm going to look at these again.
Is this something you say, the research data gap analysis thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, I think that stuff is great, but... And I don't know if that's our best role at this point.
Yeah. And there's some kind of sometimes
too
some...
prescriptive.
Well, what I mean more is, you know, a data gap analysis is great, but I don't know if that's the state of Oregon's job to be doing that. And we're going to have, you know, with the idea of focusing and getting some positive things done here, I think the more that we hang on the Christmas tree, if you will, the more muddled things will get. And while I think that's a good thing, I don't know if it's a priority thing, for my opinion.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
I don't think it hurts anything. I mean, I think the point that some of this report can accomplish is to be directive to state and federal entities that a data gap analysis needs to be done. And to that end, that's why I thought it was okay for it to be in there, because the work needs to get done. You're right. It might not be Oregon, but it needs to be done, in my opinion.
Sure.
So... task force would encourage the federal government to do a research data gap analysis.
This task force should not feel constrained
and
not give Congress some homework too.
So B and F I still have concerns with. I would not put myself at a consensus place with those two.
What is that?
A 3. B, develop integrated pollinator health research plan. There's just, again, I think a little too prescriptive. There's a lot of pieces thing with aggregated funding requests, and, you know, I just...
Again, your version is different.
Okay, this is the one for 10.3.
Yeah, so what is your F?
Okay, so right now B has develop an integrated pulmonary health research plan with state and federal. Does it mind my
under 5.1?
5.1B.
RB says, or the B I have says, complete a research data gap analysis for a national approach to resolving pollinator health.
And I have that as C. Is this the 10?
I have it as C as well.
The data gap being C. Okay, so the integrated pollinator health research plan with state and federal partners with aggregated funding requests. I have concern with that. I would like to move that to general agreement. I don't need to have, I mean, I alone couldn't make it split opinion, but I'm just still cautious, and it's too prescriptive right now. And then also ask EPA to expedite review of product to control mites. Haven't even had a chance to talk with folks about that. I don't remember seeing that one. So F is what I have that as.
That's E.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I have a different.
And the one that you mentioned on B, I think, is gone already.
Yeah, it is. That one is gone, and I don't know why these are different.
Which one is that?
I wonder if I used your track changed one,
yeah.
Beth, and I wonder if somehow the track changed one is different than the clean version, because I was curious what you had edited.
Yeah.
So that must be why.
So that one is gone.
Okay. It just doesn't show it here. So, great. Okay. Don't have to worry about that. Thank you. You read my mind. Then the expedited review of product to control mites, I don't agree with that. So that wouldn't be consensus.
Can I ask what your concern with that is?
Well, I want to know more about what it would take to be an expedited review. And I've seen a lot of expedited reviews that have gone awry, and I'm concerned about an expedited review. I would love to talk more about it, and I would be maybe down the road I could move there with you. I recognize George's concerns and want to respond to them. But
just a weird error.
Yeah.
Huh. It happens.
Well, because the honeybee industry is a small industry, it's difficult for registration of materials for mite controls or any other antibiotic control or anything like that because of the cost of development and registration. And so IR4 actually is one method to go that way. But a concern in our industry is that by expediting things, it means cutting corners, which then might set a precedent for cutting corners in other areas as well. And we've been told that that's not going to happen. But still, it does leave that, you know, that dissonance and that this uncomfortableness about cutting corners or expediting or whatever, what it really means. But by going to IR4, that I've been told at any rate that does not set a precedent for other products and compounds that are coming through the regular channels. So I...
Could we look into... I mean, one of the things that I was interested in, because I get it, I could not say yes to this right now because I have to learn more. Could we change it to say that the task force will look into this? Maybe as a group we could still put on our plate to write a letter to EPA. Is this something that we could put on our plate to do later? I don't want to not respond to the issue, but I can't put my thumbs up today.
I mean, I'm fine with any of that. I was just curious what the concern was, and that's a fair concern. I just want to see the issue addressed. I mean, these guys are left hanging out to dry right now, and we've got a problem because they can't report things to EPA because they're afraid some of the products they might be using are not appropriately used right now. And
so they don't have products.
I mean, if you can get them the right product, then now you've got more incentive to go to ODA to report the things, and it takes care of a lot of things, and this is a huge concern. And so I don't want it just to be like, yeah, that'd be a great thing to do. I mean, it needs to be a priority to get some products registered.
We encourage the state to look in and work with beekeepers and work with EPA to get products for hives. I could do that. I could encourage in a very broad general sweep like we've done with others. I'm not ready to go through the IR4 program. I would love to encourage the state to help or encourage EPA to get more products.
But we do work with IR4.
we have IR4, for example, would have somebody with Oregon State University doing research. And so IR4 really is countrywide. You know, they're just located in Rutgers. But even our agency contributes money to the work that OSU does on behalf of IR4. It's a really critical program. So I think encouraging IR4 and maybe directing OSU and the representatives from OSU when they go to the IR4 meetings to say that this is a state priority, I think that that would be a positive
thing. And the reason I like the encouragement for the IR4 program, and just so for those of you who are unfamiliar with the IR4 program, basically what it does is it help get registration on minor crops for pesticide products that are already out there. And by minor, we mean minor in size, not in importance. But, you know, they have trouble getting the research done, and until the research is done on those specific crops, then the, you know, registrants are hesitant to even try to get a label on them because, as you said, financially it's a lot of expense. And so IR4 takes on a certain number of crops every year with to find a product that can treat it. It's generally for a certain pest pressure on a certain crop, and it doesn't expedite any process. All it does is provide some of the research that's required under FIFRA to get something labeled, done by OSU scientists instead of being done by or paid for by a registrant. And so they have a very competitive process to get into there because they've only got a certain amount of dollars for research. And I would like to push this towards them as we really encourage you when you're considering where to put those research dollars when you're applying for the program to put some of that towards finding some mite control in honeybees for them. And that's not asking for an expedited process or a shortcut process or anything like that. All it's saying is when you're making those decisions on where you're going to be registering something, doing research to get something registered, that this is a very, very important area.
Yeah, and actually the only place that the word expedite is used is to expedite a review, not registration. So I think this is probably okay the way it is.
And what the change that Rose that I heard also from Scott is not asking EPA to expedite, but we're encouraging the state
to prioritize. So when we go to these national meetings and Oregon State represents us as a state, that we can say this is a state priority, because we do that all the time. We'd say that we have this outbreak in a brassica crop disease or a blueberry insect or something like that. And so we say these are our state's priorities, and then we compete actually with other states with their priorities. But I think with something like this, that other states have these issues, so that would be well received.
Okay. Is that okay, Emma, if they change the language from EPA to state? You still have some concerns, or?
Well, no, it's honestly just that it hasn't been, I haven't talked it, I think, through TikTok. Yeah, I think it's fine. Encourage the state. It makes sense.
You haven't yet? You should go visit Joe DiFrancesco, who runs the program up at the North Willamette Research Center, and it's really neat to see the work they're doing up there. So I'll give them their plug.
In this state, we need to have people encouraging IR4 because it makes sense. All the crops we have.
Okay. Can we move on to the next one? Or?
Well, we must be done. It's noon.
5 point.
I don't have any more highlighted edits here.
Okay, so we'll go fast then.
Do you have your credit card?
I don't know that I was the most at the end. I'm not convinced.
We're counting the whole time span.
5.2, research on effects of pesticides and pollinators. Then the split opinion recommendations, 5.3, says pollinator health. There is 5.3B, which says fund studies on number, type, and location of bee colonies in Oregon. I don't know why this is in split.
I had the same question. I didn't know why either.
Just asking for documenting, like Representative Reardon said, how can we assess we are doing progress after all these things happen? So that's one way to document, especially native bees. We don't know much about their populations. And
What number is this?
It's I don't know what you
on
may have there.
On ours, it's 5.4C.
Or 1.4C.
Yeah, there's a mistake.
There's a typo there.
So I'll
not
see.
Here.
So look for something which says pollinator health, George, and then.
Yeah, I got it. I found it.
Yeah. So after apiary counts, I think there is something says fund studies on number, type, and location of bee colonies in Oregon.
So that should be moved up.
Yeah, it can go to consensus.
Well, I think I was probably the reason that that wasn't. I just felt like if we're not willing to fund studies on the use, number, and type, and location of pesticide applications, that we shouldn't have to do this to bees. That's the reason. That was my point, and why I voted against it. Okay. That it's not just where and what kind of bees we have, but also what kind of pesticides. And so I don't know where that other half of this dynamic ended up. I think, what do we recommend, that we were going to, it was a split decision, that we were going to continue restart the pesticide registration?
It's split.
It was general agreement.
It was general agreement? Well, then you can move this one to general agreement on my, my vote.
I like that.
I think this really is two parts, a two-part question. What's fair is fair.
Okay, 5.5, research on effects of pesticides on pollinators. A little bit of rephrasing needed because it's not very clear, but other than that,
okay. Did you have that which you sent?
No, I didn't send that.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you that.
Okay,
we'll rephrase
good.
It and send you. Okay, last one, funding, task 6. 6.1, revenue sources and use of funds.
I did have one edit in the, right above that in the bullets, the barriers to progress. Instead of the uses of pesticide registration applicator license fee revenues, I put current funding mechanisms are statutorily restricted. Because
that makes sense.
They also are under the apiary stuff right now, too.
That makes sense.
Okay. So that 6.1, I think I added one here. I said, I don't know, maybe Rose probably may not have much. How much are you aware of that specialty crop block grant that ODA gets money from USDA, right? Every year, probably $1.5 million or...
Yeah, I don't work with them.
You don't work with them? Okay. So what I am saying here is, because I don't know how much legislature has... leave it to fund any of these things we are suggesting. So I thought maybe saying direct ODA to allocate about $200,000 from the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program for research projects related to pollinator health annually.
I'm sorry, which one are you on?
Mr. Chair, the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program is a competitively construed program. So there is something in the hopper this year for bee pollinator issues, but to have it automatically come off the top every in perpetuity for the special crop block grant, and that's something that is, that's not what it's designed for. I'd rather budget for it with ODA. I just think that I think the special crop block grant people would tell you to.
So is this USDA mandates those, or?
Well, USDA gives Oregon money, and then we do a process where we evaluate a variety of different projects, different specialty crops, different parts of the state. So geographically, it's diverse. It rewards innovation and all that. There isn't a set block amount in there that goes towards.
Can ODA set priorities or based on what's important at that time of the year? If not, I'm not asking
it. But I mean, the point is.
I don't know. That's why I was asking Rose that I am not aware of what kind of
that there,
discussions.
There was, in maybe I'm violating every protocol by being on that. I'm on that.
Oh, you are on that. Okay.
There is something that made it through the wicket for pollinator health, and we promised our support of that in the special block grant program, and I think it will be released to that end. But to say that automatically USDA and ODA, you have to put $200,000 aside, and I think people would say, thank you, task force, for recommending that. We have no intention of doing that. So I'd rather direct them to say, let's have the state fund it through general fund or whatever, and that, because I think that's an easier thing to tell the legislature.
Okay. Thanks for the input. Yeah, I had no idea how the specialty crop block grant works.
No, it's okay.
I knew there is a significant money that comes in every year to ODA for that. And
yes.
I did have one edit as well on 6.1 sub A on the second bullet point. It had said ODA or OSU increased pesticide registration fee, all additional revenue used to fund ODA or OSU extension pesticide use outreach and education programs. I removed OSU extension, and the reason I did that is because I think that we may be able to, under the current statutory authority, without having to change statute, direct some pesticide registration fees towards outreach and education, and I'm still following up on this, and that would be a simpler mechanism, and a mechanism to get a lot more easy support for the registration fee increases. And practically speaking, they can still use OSU to distribute stuff, even if they create materials, or they can help distribute extension already created materials. And then I think that kind of also dovetails in with the direct appropriation to OSU Extension Office for outreach and education. So I'm not leaving them out in the cold by any means, but I think by leaving them out of the explicitly in the pesticide registration fee part, that it makes it easier.
So
to raise and spend those fees.
I understand what you're saying, and it's, but I just want to clarify what the language would be, because I have 2 points. B is supporting appropriations to OSU extension.
Yep.
And then C is supporting the POP. And I don't see how that conflicts. I mean, they're two separate.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at.
He's looking at 6.1A, the second bullet point.
Second bullet under A.
A, thank you. Sorry, I was.
So under A, the second bullet, it said all additional revenue used to fund ODA or OSU extension.
And
I removed the OSU extension. So just the final read, all additional revenue used to fund ODA pesticide use outreach and education programs.
Thank you. Yes, as long as we continue to support direct appropriation to OSU.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So throughout the 1 through 5, we had here and there, we had several things that we're wanting to do, and we didn't name a funding source at this level. I'm wondering, do we need to do that, or are they going to figure out that if we're going to build a diagnostic lab at OSU for honeybee pest problems or whatever, that are we required, or should we be saying, well, that's going to have to come from the general fund or whatever? Or is that really just implicit that they'll figure that out?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. Representative Reardon, you have any thoughts on whether we should?
good call. Because I thought this was task 6 was going to be a summary of all the funding sources and where we were going to spend it, where we'd hope to spend it.
Did that? There are half a dozen things in there that aren't covered by these funding sources.
And so I think that's where it came down to my comment earlier about the prioritization, and we can throw all these great things in there. Yes, it'd be great to do research. It'd be great to have these grant things, and it would be awesome, but we don't really have a mechanism identified for doing that. And so I think that, honestly, you're almost doing that a little bit by the way we have it, because we're identifying funding sources, and yes, we can clearly go after general fund dollars, but I wish us all good luck on that, and make sure that we, on the priorities that we have, that we make sure there's a funding mechanism for those, and beyond that, we can direct them to do whatever we want them to do out of general fund, but at the end of the day, we need to be realistic with ourselves.
Yeah. So you're saying take kind of review our priorities that we had in the executive summary that we talked about early, make sure those are funded. You're probably right.
I mean, I hate to have to be the
that's what I was talking
real,
about earlier,
person,
is having it be specific to education and outreach. That's what that was my
I can stay later, but I did unfortunately park in a 3 hour and I got there at 8:30. So I'm happy to move my car, but we would have to take a small break.
I think we are almost close to being done, right? Except for that funding thing. Yeah.
If we do want to
so George, you want something be more explicit on where the funds will come from, or we should direct?
Well, them? I think the discussion is appropriate.
I think everything boils down to having significant funding to do.
I'm not too sure what the $75,000 is. If that's something that's already being requested and what it's going to pay for,
the policy option package.
Mm-hmm. It's something that Department of Agriculture has proposed in their budget.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to the diagnostic facility, would that be a part of the state's support for Oregon State University? Would it come as a part of that line item?
You mean the one existing that is supporting the?
Well, doesn't.
That's a different thing, you know. But for this biennium, I know, like OSU, they proposed their own budget as well. College of Agriculture, especially where I am located, my department is located, so they have their own biennium budget that has been proposed already. I guess it's already with the legislature, maybe now. So in that, they ask for a part of money for many programs. It's not very specific for one, but they do include. They will do some pollinator health and those things as well, because that's one of the priority areas at this time. But again, that can't be used for, if you're asking for a B diagnostic lab, that cannot be a problem. So it has to be a separate part of money that we need to ask if we want that from the legislature. It has to be a separate item. It's not going to come.
The university would make the request.
And it would be...
Then university, yeah.
Mistaken here on my governmental budgeting, which is always amazing in my mind, but that would be a capital expenditure. So that's actually a little bit different ball game and ask anyway, because that's kind of a different pot than the ongoing activities that go on at the facility. And so it would actually be a capital expenditure request.
But do we want to say that here?
I think that would be the appropriate thing to do if
that's
you want to have a diagnostic facility is to ask for a capital request for that.
So capital, the request is under 6.1 and revenue source is capital equipment.
The one thing I would want to check in with is I'd want to be sure that we check in with the university and make sure we're following their protocols correctly, because they've got I know they do their internal budget and it's very interesting how they do their ask, but it might be, our ask might be to OSU to request that then more than it is to the legislature to request that. And I just don't know on that, and I'm fine doing it either way. I just think we'd want to know what the actual mechanism we're requesting here is.
Can we weasel word it in some way that says capital funding via university protocols or
as per
something?
University protocol.
Weasel wording is your job.
So we don't have to lock down, I think, exactly what it says. I think we have a broad agreement that we would like to see it as
a capital expenditure
with ongoing expenses, and then we can take the time to write it instead of trying to wordsmith it right here.
Yeah, I really think that it's going to come down to what legislative council does anyway, so I think if we just get the idea in, we should be fine.
Okay. Good.
But there was another one. We're supposed to fund the how to reduce pesticide damage. You know,
the booklet thing. Yeah.
Your booklet. We specifically say it's supposed to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there may be some other things in here too. But that one, I think we could probably say that one could be funded
already, so far, it's been some money comes from us, some money comes from the Washington State beekeepers, some money comes from ODA, and I don't know where else they scrabbled money together, but I would think maybe we could say that one could be funded in that way, or...
Well, I think that's part of the direct appropriation to OSU Extension Office for the outreach and education effort. So that's a direct appropriation is general fund appropriation to OSU Extension.
So that's, and that's new, because that's not in my page here.
It is in there. Are you using the track changes document?
Track
or the...
changes, yeah.
So it's C then.
So where am I going?
6.1. 6.1E has okay. funding for the OSU publication.
I was actually looking at this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so there.
6.1B has a direct appropriation for OSU Extension.
Okay. All right. Got it.
And then if you take a look at 6.1E, they have the specific document is listed.
Yes.
So we might be able to merge B and E.
And I think that B was also to kind of provide a counter staff member at OSU to match with what ODA has, so they could work together. So I think merging is fine, but being clear that we want to have that.
Well, that helps me a lot. I was just looking at the quick and dirty.
Sorry.
So if the funding for research for honeybee health research is going to be in part funded by the license honeybee hive registration fees and so forth, how does the money from ODA get to OSU? Do we need to talk about that? Or to whomever is going to do the research.
Yeah, there is no specific language. Like as Scott said, he removed that extension part from there. It says only ODA now. So it has to be an internal arrangement, I guess, with ODA, or I don't know if you
is
want
that. Is that a problem, Rose?
No, it's actually much easier for us to give money to OSU than it would be to a private entity. Like if we wanted them to make a video or do something like that. But... you know, that program, you know, and I can't speak for that program, it's out of our commodities, they need to fund their staff to actually do the program too. And so I don't know how much money, those fees look pretty small, so I don't know how many funds that would actually even generate.
Mr. Chair, we can go around quite a bit on this issue. I think we want to focus on what the outcomes are in the identified areas where we think show the most promise and support of this task force, and the legislature, Oregon State, they will all do what they want to do. And so I think we give them kind of the goalposts, tell them here's kind of a couple plays we would run and go see if it works.
Yeah,
I think we can't be... It's good to be. It's good to have detail. I don't think we need to be prescriptive.
Yeah, no, I agree that's important. But what George is saying is give some direction to the legislators as well, so that they understand how to.
I'm sure that they will ask us.
Okay, if that's gonna be the case, then I think George should be happy.
I'm fine. You don't think this will be the last discussion we have on the issue?
I'd be shocked, Mr. Representative, if this would be the last one.
Okay, then, I think then we are almost done, and so maybe Beth will edit her document that she has based on the notes she has taken, and hopefully she'll send us in a week, and then I think we'll get an opportunity to look at that and see if there are still some things missing or you're not comfortable with, but I would expect it will not be a too long discussion again via emails. But yeah, if someone is sending, like Amai, if you're sending your suggestions, copy everyone on the email, so that everyone knows what you're suggesting, and then maybe they can start interacting before even Beth starts editing things.
Oh, I won't have anything until after she edits.
Okay.
What we think.
Perfect. Anything else I'm forgetting, Beth, or
that was
it? Any
last
comments?
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. Yep. It was a pleasure. It's an easy group, right? See.
I did have a couple closing comments.
Yeah. So let allow the representative to.
Nothing too exciting, but and won't keep you on your meter too long. You know, we came together really to find ways to improve pollinator health and ensure that we could still continue to raise abundant crops in a number of different ways. And I think we've all learned so much from each other. I know there isn't a meeting that's gone by that I haven't been so amazed and impressed with the knowledge that's been of people on this task force. I mean, it's just remarkable. And people that are supporting the task force. I mean, Rose is just an amazing resource. So thank you so much for what you've been doing. You know, we started with the idea, at least I did, with banning the neonicotinoids. And I think instead we've come up with some really excellent strategies that I think it'll help not only with neonics, but using pesticides going forward. And I think that's obviously involving, you know, educating people better. We've got to be able to do that. Everybody that uses the gardens or farms using pesticides or not using pesticides. And I think, you know, talking about the best management practices, you know, that's so valuable. Getting in discussions about this funding, how are we going to pay for this? Obviously, we're going to have further discussions. Got to get a few of my colleagues on board with this. But, you know, it's just, I'm just so impressed with what we've been able to accomplish by working together. And I hope we can continue to do that. We've got a lot of work to do to get this turned into legislation. Right now we've got a great report, but now we've got a finished report and start with some legislation. And I think working together, continuing to do that, we can make a difference, not only in the state of Oregon, but perhaps something that's modeled elsewhere across the country. So thank you so much. I'm sorry I gave the T-shirts out two meetings ago. I thought we were going to be done. We could have a little celebration. So go home, put your shirt on tonight, and run around the house a couple of times, whatever you need to do. But, again, I just can't thank you enough for the quality of the conversations that we've had. It's really been great. So thank you.
Thank you for convening us.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. And so we'll conclude here. Hopefully we'll have some fruitful discussions in the future as well with regards to this if there are more questions, as Jeff suggested. Thank you very much.
My Ontario sprint.
Thank you very much.
My Ontario sprint.
Thank you very much.